Hey y'all, I'm Sammy, your host of the You Were Made for More podcast. John 10:10 is a promise that Jesus came down to earth so that we would have life and have it abundantly. My prayer is that this podcast and all of the content that we put out would remind every student that they were made for more, simply because of who they were created to be. My own walk with the Lord and my relationships with the teenagers that I disciple have shown me that once we understand whose we are, the game changes. Or in other words, transformation happens. Our identity changes everything. We recognize that it takes investment and partnership between the church and parents to raise teens who know and believe who they are in Jesus. And we're here to help. So buckle up as we take this journey and take a look at what God has to say about friendships, relationships, sexuality, dating, and all the things in between. Podcast today, I am super excited because we are going to be chatting with a woman named Missy Giles. She has a very diverse background, including studying entrepreneurship in college, working as a professional wedding photographer, and nonprofit mission work with college students. But the reason I asked her to be on the podcast was because currently Missy works for Human Life Alliance as their marketing and development coordinator. And she specifically has a passion for educating teens and young adults about the culture and the climate surrounding the pro-life movement and reproductive rights and politics. She leads students through asking hard questions like, if you're pro-life, why? If you're going to take the stance of being pro-choice, can you back that up? These are all really important questions to ask ourselves, especially as followers of Jesus. And we have to be willing to ask these hard questions in order to be educated about cultural issues that easily divide us as a culture and even the church. So we're going to have a chat with Missy about what it looks like to become educated on these issues and why we should be passionate about them. I love her story because she's able to also kind of connect why her very diverse background, God has used all of those things to kind of lead her to what she's faithfully doing now and what God has called her to in this season. And I relate to that in my story. So I'm excited. Let's dive into this conversation. Missy, welcome to the You Were Made for More podcast. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. Before we jump in, can you just kind of give us like a SparkNotes version of who you are, where we can find you on a daily basis, and what you're all about?
Hi, thanks for having me on today. So yeah, a little bit about me. I am in the Twin Cities area in Minnesota. I am the program coordinator for Human Life Alliance. So you'll hear more about our organization throughout the podcast, but briefly, we make informational materials on pro-life issues. So anything from euthanasia and assisted suicide to abortion. So it's really cool. If you were to pick up one of our magazines, you would learn 99% of what you would need to know about that particular topic. And so, yeah, we're a nonprofit, so I do a lot of different things, wear a lot of different hats, but I really enjoy it. And like I said, you'll hear more. So in my spare time, personal time, I really love cooking. I love being outside. I really love hosting people, and that's been definitely hard with the impact of COVID. I'm looking forward to this summer. And I really love learning. I think that's something that, as I've grown out of college, I've just become like, oh, I really miss that environment. But really learning a lot about kind of what's going on in our world today. And so this podcast and my job are kind of like a perfect combination of those things.
So Missy, before we dive in, now that we know a little bit about you, can you tell us a little bit about your faith background and what that has looked like for you throughout your life?
So I grew up in a Christian home. I have really amazing parents who really nurtured my faith really well when I was growing up. And when I was about 10 years old, I was praying and I heard the Lord in my heart call me to drop my nets and follow him. And of course, this was the calling of Peter in scripture. And I remember hearing it and just being overcome as a 10-year-old, just with like love, with emotion for the Lord. And I said yes. I said yes to following him. And I think about that moment sometimes now, because as a 10-year-old, I'm not exactly sure, you know, what I had to really forsake. I was like, yes, I'll drop my nets, Lord, and follow you. But of course, I wasn't going to like go live out on the road and move out of my parents' house or something like that. And so I am so grateful for that experience, because that really marked the beginning of, I think, my relationship with Christ. And my life has had many, many moments of encountering him from there. I think conversion is not just one moment. It's not one point in our life. It's continuous. And I have had many, many conversion moments. And the farther that I go in my relationship with Christ, the more I see that I'm saved, and the more I'm just filled with gratitude that I was blessed to be nurtured in a home by my parents and by my siblings also doing the same, to just be in that environment that was so enriching for me. And so I'm really grateful. I feel really graced in my life. It hasn't had, you know, it's had its moments of failure and of moments of deep darkness and valleys. Those are just a part of the Christian life. But foundationally, I have been so graced to have been brought up in that environment. And I think it'll just be continually grateful for that throughout my life.
About your faith background, I think that kind of opens up the conversation and kind of makes our guests more relatable to students. So I'm thankful for you being vulnerable and sharing that. I want to ask you a hard question, but it is an important one. Can you tell us about the current state of women's rights, reproductive rights in the U.S.? I know most people may think they know all about this and have strong opinions about it, but it is a lot to stay up to date with. So can you just give us kind of...
There's a lot going on with women's reproductive rights, and I think we have only seen that heightened with the Biden administration in office right now. I think that the influence of the media, of pop culture, and, you know, the voices that are opposite of us are always very loud, you know, and so that we would all be led to believe that women's reproductive rights are really, really under attack. But actually what's really, really under attack is being a man, being a woman, and living in the design and the wisdom of God's plan for our lives and for our sexuality. That is what's under attack here. You know, when the words women's reproductive rights are used, what is essentially is being said is further abortion access. And further abortion access, abortion on demand, abortion, you know, with no strings attached, is essentially giving women this false idea of freedom that they can have sex whenever they want with no repercussions, that they are in complete control of their sexuality and of, you know, their lives in a lot of ways, that they're able to have an abortion when they want an abortion and move on with their life with, nothing pulling them down. And so, like I said, with the Biden administration in office, we've just seen an increase of dangerous legislation. And one of those is the Equality Act. And it's just too big and too many components to really get into it. So I'm only going to mention a few things. I would refer you to the Family Research Council, the Heritage Foundation. Those are great resources to really learn about what this act is more fully and to understand its possible impact, especially if you're a woman, if you're a parent, if you're a man. Everyone should learn about it. Everyone should read about it. So first things First is that the Equality Act, I think I want to just say I wholeheartedly believe in equality, and I think it's, again, unfortunate that they would call it the Equality Act, because it's really anything far, it's just so far from actual true equality. It's equality for those that self-identify in the LGBTQ community, and of course, we don't want them discriminated against, but this is where the rubber is really hitting the road with biological women and our rights and our freedoms here. And so its initial impact upon women like myself, like listeners, and especially those of us who are Christian, who are trying to live in the wisdom of God's plan for us, we're going to see if this passes through the Senate. It's already passed through the House. We'll see increased loss of our freedoms here. So a few things is that this act will allow anyone who identifies as a woman to be able to use women facilities, to be able to participate in like biological female sports competitions. Essentially, if they identify as a woman, they get all the rights of what we would, you know, what we received and what we have fought for years for to get to. And so we're already seeing the dangers of this. We're already seeing repercussions of this. You know, just a few things is like letting males who identify as women enter into girls' locker rooms. And we've already seen an increase of sexual abuse among that, because it's a biological male in a room full of biological females. And we're seeing, even in our prison system, men who are in the prison system that identify as women are being transferred into all, you know, female prisons. And this is really dangerous to those women there, because there's not really any screening. All it takes is them saying, I identify as a woman, and they're, you know, put in there. And so it's just putting women in an increased vulnerable position. And I think it's, you know, at the end of the day, it's really stepping on women's ability to achieve and move forward in life, you know, allowing biological males who identify as a woman participate in sports. You know, it's so sad and heartbreaking, because women work so hard to achieve, and to, especially in sports with competition, and to allow biological males to race with biological females. There are just natural physical differences between us that allow them to have the upper hand there. And so, yeah, for starters, its impact upon women is frightening. And again, biological women, I, you know, want to state that it's frightening. And I also want to just reiterate that, again, we don't want the LGBTQ community to be discriminated against, but I think there needs to be a line here, and there needs to be protection for biological women. You know, so I read somewhere that it's kind of like just the woke heresy that we're seeing in our culture right now just come into our government and then have its, like, you know, be creeping down through our legislation. And so dangerous. It passed through the House. It's, you know, where I think I'm uncertain of, you know, if it'll pass through the Senate or not. So you'll have to stay tuned, keep, you know, learning about it and reading. And it got, of course, you know, God is in control of all this. This is also probably the most pro-abortion legislation we've seen in our nation. It would essentially be making abortion just a legislative right. It would be abortion on demand. It would be considered medical care, that doctors who, you know, wouldn't want to perform an abortion because of their personal beliefs, their faith, would now be required to, and that it would be called discrimination if they weren't. And so we're just seeing kind of the continued, you know, false sense of freedom here. And it would just be making abortion a law of the land. And I think that's frightening, because when we're thinking about our nation, women's reproductive rights have become a pillar. It's like one of our like tenets, and it's a pillar that is just already crumbling. And as Christians, we can see how horrible it is. But our nation and our current administration is just bound to make this something that is foundational in our country. And so it is frightening, and it is frightening its impact on pro-life organizations, on faith-based organizations, because it immediately puts us in a position that we are being discriminatory, and immediately, you know, it makes us much more vulnerable to being wiped out and to not being allowed to do any work. So, and, you know, by work, I mean fighting for life, fighting for women, and things like that. So very frightening. But I do want to just quickly note that though broadly, there's a lot going on, and it is evil, and I call it wickedly genius, the stuff that they're doing. I don't think it's genius. I think it's completely against, you know, God's will for women and men and all of that. But I can see how the evil one is really running with this, and it's frightening. At the same time, there's a lot in our states and just state governments that are really putting forth a lot of really good protective legislation. We've had 61 bills in 13 states passed that have just continued to protect life, to protect women in vulnerable situations when they have unexpected pregnancies. And so our states are doing really good work. I think overall in 2021, there have been 536 bills introduced. And so we are fighting really hard. And I think we often forget that, but did want to state that so that this wasn't all, you know, doom.
Okay, so one of the things you are passionate about is educating college students about abortion and ensuring that they're educated enough on the issue to actually stand up for their point of view. So can you tell us a little about the organization you work for, Human Life Alliance, and the initiative that you've started with them to do just that?
Like I mentioned earlier, Human Life Alliance is a pro-life nonprofit organization, and we produce these informational materials that will teach you 99% of what you need to know about a life issue. And so one of the pieces that we make is a magazine for college students. In 2019, which is when we made our last one, we entitled the publication Stay Woke. And every year it changes. We didn't make one for 2020 because of COVID. And I think it was the Lord's provision for HLA with the word stay woke, because of course there was a revival of that word to the woke culture. Then everything we saw in 2020 that allowed us to continue to use this magazine. And so it's all about the issues of abortion. The articles kind of change year to year, depending on like really what's going on with the abortion debate. But it just presents the truth from a non-religious, non-political standpoint. And we have seen it to be effective. And I think if anything, it's planting a seed for students.
Okay, awesome. Okay, I want to touch on one thing we kind of mentioned before, but why is it so important, like when you're educating students about this stuff, to understand both your viewpoint and the other person's viewpoint? Why does it matter? Why can't you just have your opinion and that be enough?
So I think it's really important. I think even more than just important, it's necessary to know both sides of an issue. I think particularly when it comes to the pro-life issue, I think a lot of us, including myself, were raised in Christian homes where naturally the pro-life views kind of just come along with that because they are so heavily tied together. But I think in those environments then, we're never really pushed to really know it for ourselves, to really understand it more deeply than I think surface level. And a lot of that makes sense because you're surrounded by people that also think like you, believe the same thing, and so you're not really hard pressed to move beyond that. But I think it ends up creating this kind of hole, because then when you head out into the real world, which the real world could be high school, it could be college, it could be post-college, but when you encounter people that think differently and believe in differing opinions than you or truths than you, then you'll find that you have a lot of doubt. You'll experience kind of this shaking of what you've known. And part of that is that we were never pressed in the beginning to really dive deep. And so the importance of understanding when we label ourselves as things, when we label ourselves as pro-life, as even a Christian or whatever it might be, then you better have the like foundation to back that up. I think I see that right now with our woke culture and a lot of people labeling themselves to be this and, you know, an activist in this way, a believer of this in that way. But it really only runs skin deep, and there really isn't actually any foundation for their belief or for their argument. And I can really respect someone when I'm debating with them if they can actually share with me their reasoning and share with me maybe their lived experience. But I have a more difficult time on both sides of this spectrum here with people that might actually be like-minded like me or on a, you know, differing side, when it's that very surface level, very much like, I know everyone else is saying this, so I'm going to say it too. And I think when it comes to being pro-life, we are on the side of truth. I don't think that we need to fear that, you know, in being pro-life that we'll discover that it is all a lie or something. We're actually standing on the side of truth, you know, and we're promoting life, and we're promoting not just life for that child in the womb, but life for that mother. We're promoting a better life for her, to really support her financially, emotionally, through community, to help her in her difficult circumstances. So believe in that, understand that, like, we're on the side of truth, but it is just as important to understand where they're coming from, where pro-choicers, pro-abortion people are coming from, because we kind of have to know what we're going up against. But also, as Christians, we're people that should have soft hearts. We should be empathetic. We should be non-judgmental. The Lord is our judge, and we have to let Him, in His timing and in His wisdom, you know, judge the earth, which He will do. That is something that we see in Scripture all the time, is this picture of the Lord as our judge. And so we should be empathetic. We, you know, should be supportive. At the same time, we should stand for the truth, and we know what the truth is. And so we can actually hold both things of understanding our truth and the pro-life truth, and be an empathetic human being and listen and be in a position with our hearts towards another person that believes the opposite of what we do, and be in a position to love them and accept them because they are a human being. So here again, like, if you're going to be pro-life, uphold the dignity of the person that you're speaking with, you know, treat them as a human being. And it's a kind of, you know, the golden rule, you know, treat them the way that you would want to be treated. And so I think this is just an area that, with our culture, I just really see kind of slipping out of control. And like, I'm just like, look at the pro-life community and the future of the pro-life movement, and I think I want to see people that know truth, that understand it, but can have that soft heart. And I think you'll just have the upper hand. But more than just like having the upper hand, and it's not about just winning a conversation, you know, it's about being Jesus to other people and being able to hold both those things. And we see that Jesus do that all the time in Scripture. He holds both love and truth at the same time. And that's exactly what we're called to do too.
Yeah, that is really important. You have to know both sides of the issue in order to form a solid apologetics argument about why you believe what you believe. So, Missy, how did you become pro-life, and what was an impactful conversation that you had that allowed you to really develop the beliefs that you have?
So a moment for me that really impacted and I think cemented the pro-life views inside of my heart, I think when I began high school, I went to a massive public high school. It was crazy. I don't know what high school isn't crazy, but my friends had started pretty early on and just engaging in the party culture and hookup culture that existed at the school. And I just remember listening to a friend of mine talk pretty freely and carelessly about the spontaneity of her sexual behavior with other boys in the school. And I just remember hearing her and really, like, in my head, like, everything was going off, where it was like, okay, the reality is like, she's just, you know, having sex freely and carelessly, and there's a really strong chance that she could get pregnant one of these times, because she's not really thinking, I'm not trying to, like, put her down right now. This was high school, you're young, you're trying to, like, figure out your body, and so you kind of just think, like, and what we're taught in school is that we can have sex with no repercussions, you know? And so, coming from a Christian home, though, coming from knowing those pro-life beliefs, knowing that what happens in sex is for procreation, knowing that pregnancy is possible through that act, you know, I was, like, becoming really aware of that for her. And I just remember thinking initially, like, it surprised me of my initial judgment of, like, well, she shouldn't be surprised if she gets pregnant. And of course, this was just a conversation I was having in my head, and I just remember stopping myself and being like, that's so far from what would need to be said in a moment if she were to ever come to me and tell me that she was pregnant. And the first thing I thought after that was, like, well, I would want her to know she could come to me if she ever found out that she was pregnant. I would not want to be, my friends knew I was a Christian, but I wouldn't want to be just kind of putting forth my beliefs so much that it wasn't twisted to them to be, you know, just a sort of, like, judgment and bitterness. Like, I wanted to do that. I wanted to hold both the truth and love be present with that too. And so that was kind of, like, my initial response. And it really, I think I just, the reality hit me of a young friend of mine getting pregnant, and just, like, the massive impact that that really would have on her life. I mean, it would be forever changed, her life, and she would be a teenage mom. You know, that's not a small thing at all. But I just knew instinctively in that moment of, like, that is a child that deserves life if she, you know, if that were to happen. And she deserves the support, and she is also a human being, and so she deserves understanding that she has dignity and value. And even though, you know, she could possibly find herself in a situation like that, that she was still deserving of love and support no matter what. And so I think that was a huge stepping stone for me of kind of understanding that I'm heading into the big world, the real world here, and that what I have just sort of said lightly or thought lightly could become realities for me. And so to think more critically and more thoughtfully about how I would actually handle it. And so, yeah, you know, to my knowledge, she actually never got pregnant. I don't know. But it was good for me to kind of realize my blind spots in that area and to realize where my heart was really at if my friend had gotten pregnant, and just let the Lord lead me in that way.
So, kind of, I'm aware of our time, and I want to ask you in conclusion, why is it important to be educated on women's reproductive rights?
Yeah, so to wrap it up here, we've talked about a lot of different things, But it is really important to understand what's going on politically, and to understand the reality of those political decisions, the reality of those policies and legislation being pushed through, what they actually do for men and women that are just like you and I, who are just citizens of America. And so it's important to kind of hold both in tandem, and it can seem like a lot. But I think at the end of the day, it's important for you to be aware of these things, and it's important for you to know the truth about women's reproductive rights and what's being put forth, because that isn't truth, that isn't freedom. And the truth is that you are, you know, I said it earlier, but I'll say it again, you are made in the image of God. And our culture is placing really heavy emphasis on the freedom of sexuality, the freedom to be whoever you want to be in your sexuality. And it's really like, when I look out at our culture, all I see is sex, 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 sex. And not just sex itself, but defining what sex is for yourself, being able to have the freedom to do that. We are moving outside of God's plan and wisdom for sexuality. And the thing is that our sexuality is a really good and beautiful gift. And I don't say these things because it doesn't matter, that I don't want to disregard the God-given sexuality that we have. But at the same time, you are so much more than your sexuality. You are here on earth for so much more than just to be a sexual being or to identify in a certain way. You have a purpose, you have meaning, and I don't say these things lightly. I say it with conviction, with truth, because I've worked through those things myself, you know, and I've been learning that I and my purpose here is so much more than I could have ever imagined. And the Lord has a plan for our lives. He has a plan for our sexuality and for also all the other parts of our life too. But we have to just let Him bring order to the chaos that we have in our own lives and that we have in our world. And so the best thing we can do is to understand those truths ourselves and to really debate with ourselves and to debate with the Lord and figure this stuff out for ourselves with Him. This is a really foundational time in your life. It's okay to have to work things out with the Lord. It's okay to struggle with things, and all of that the Lord wants to show up for. You know, He just loves being in relationship with us. And even if we're yelling and fighting with Him, He's still, you know, we're still allowing Him to be present to Him. So I always think about that when I'm, you know, angry with the Lord or whatever. It's like, well, you know what? He still is like, well, at least I'm here. At least you're saying these things to me. And I'm not just, you know, going out on my own and trying to find my own answers. Take it to Him. He's the creator of this world. He has the answers for everything that we're seeking. And He has the truth to give us. And He has the tools to let that stuff bear a lot of fruit in our lives. And so, again, a lot of thoughts, but thanks so much for having me on, Sammy. This has been really good, and I am just praying for all of you that listen to this episode. So, thanks.
Well, I am so thankful for Missy coming on the podcast today and hanging out with us, and I just want to encourage you guys to go into the show notes, check out some of the work that she's doing, and if her conversation bless you, if you have questions for her, if you want to chat with her about how you can get involved in this movement, please reach out to her, reach out to me on social media, and I'll connect you guys, whatever you're more comfortable with. But we are thankful for you. Thank you for listening to the You Are Made for More podcast, and we will see you guys next time.